Have you ever made a decision, huge or tiny, and then later stared at yourself like, what on earth was that? What was I thinking?
Oh, constantly. It's like you're watching your own movie and the lead just improvised a scene no one approved. For me, it's those moments when logic just vanishes.
Right. Gone in a cuff. What grabs me is the gap between who we say we are, calm, rational, and how it actually works under the hood. A noisy chemical negotiation most of us never notice.
Negotiation is exactly it. Not a dictator, a committee. Hormones and neurotransmitters pitching their cases, dopamine yelling, do it, it'll feel great, while serotonin tries to keep the table steady.
And oxytocin barges in, leaning hard on the belonging lever, like, hey, keep the group happy. This hidden drama steers so much of what we do.
That's where I want to go with you today. Pull the curtain back on that drama and see how those chemical brokers shape who we trust, the risks we take, even what feels moral.
So a tour of the biochemistry behind our choices? Honestly, a little unsettling and hugely clarifying.
Yeah. It lands on this nagging question. How much control do you actually have over the steering wheel?
That question lingers. Who's really steering? It makes me think about trust that snap judgment about a new colleague. Nobody is running spreadsheets in their head.
Nope. It's a feeling. We called it intuition for ages, but the more we look, the more you can see oxytocin's fingerprints all over it.
The love hormone, as people insist on calling it, such a flattening, isn't it?
Massively. It's more like a social bonding amplifier. It doesn't invent trust. It turns up whatever positive cues are already there. Familiarity, a quick laugh, shared background.
So it greases the wheels of connection.
Exactly. In experiments where people get a nasal spray with oxytocin, they become more trusting in economic games, willing to put their own money on the line for a stranger because the brain's it's safe to connect signal is blasting.
Hold on, that a puff of spray can make you risk cash with a stranger? Say that again slowly. That's wild and a little alarming.
It is. And here's the twist. It doesn't boost kindness to everyone. It cranks up warmth and empathy toward whoever you see as your in-group.
And the people outside that circle?
Suspicion goes up. Defensiveness, too. Not a universal love potion, more like a protect us enhancer. It tightens the circle of we and darkens the line around they.
So the same chemistry that makes a team click can also feed bias and conflict across groups? That's a serious complication.
Yeah, it suggests loyalty and camaraderie and also xenophobia can rise from the same biochemical well. The tool isn't moral by itself. It's for social navigation, and it can go off the rails.
Off the rails really lands because you can picture it. A boardroom where loyalty mutates into justifying bad behavior. Politics, obviously.
Everywhere. The bonding curdles into tribalism. And when that line hardens and your brain flags them as a threat, it calls for backup.
Backup as in?
Cortisol, the stress hormone, the panic button.
So the group bonding push ends up putting the fight or flight line on speed dial.
Yes. And the moment cortisol floods the system, the mission changes. It's not about thriving anymore. It's about not dying.
Which I'm guessing is terrible for judgment.
Brutal for nuance. Cortisol is built for immediate danger. It shuts down non-essentials. And high on that list is the prefrontal cortex, the bit that plans, weighs trade-offs, updates beliefs.
The long view, rational part benched.
Exactly. Picture the CEO locked in a closet and the security chief jumpy and armed running the building. Your focus tunnels. New info that disagrees with you doesn't even make it through the door.
That's why in a heated argument you feel slower. You can't find your best point. You can't hear theirs. You just circle the same angry line.
Yes, you're not debating. You're defending existence status, identity, tribe. In that mode, the brain values speed over accuracy.
So the chemical that bonds the team also primes you to treat the other side like an existential menace, which flips on a hormone that downgrades reason. That's a disturbingly efficient on-ramp to conflict.
A feedback loop. It's a big part of why fights from marriages to geopolitics spiral so fast. Both parties literally can't see clearly. It's two security bosses trying to hash out a peace deal.
Mm-hmm. Two nervous guards at a table, both certain the other is dangerous. No wonder it collapses. Disaster is baked in.
Here's where I want to push back on the bleakness gently. It can sound like we're puppets.
Right, like free will is a bedtime story for the rational brain while the basement crew pulls every lever.
Almost, though, I'd flip the order. Awareness changes the game. The second you notice the takeover, you've cracked the door.
The noticing itself? Hmm.
That's the move. The whole system works best when you're on autopilot. But if you catch it, my heart's pounding, I'm defensive, am I in survival mode? You just turn the basement light on.
You've added an observer. The CEO steps back out long enough to see what the guard's trying to do.
Yes, and that observer can ask the question, the guard never will, is this person actually a threat, or do they just have a different spreadsheet? That pause is the pocket where agency lives, where you can nudge cortisol down and bring reasoning back online.
So it's not about never feeling tribal or stressed. We're wired that way. It's about calling it what it is, a biological alarm, and not tossing it the car keys.
That's basically the whole game. Be the one watching the storm, not the storm itself. You can't swap the hardware, but with practice, you can update the software awareness reps, basically.
I buy that, and I'm also still back at the hard part. In the moment you feel betrayed or cornered, everything in you surges the other way. That current is strong.
Totally. It's lifetime work. But naming the tide is step one. Then you can choose to build a seawall or learn to surf.
Surfing the chemical tide, nicely put, it circles us back to the core. How much of the control is actually yours?
As much as you're willing to fight for, the default is passenger. With intention, you can grab the wheel. You won't win every time, but you can steer better.
That feels both grounded and hopeful. I'm glad we walked through it.
Me too. And I'm honestly enjoying this way more than I expected. The technical bits turned out to be the fun part. Thanks for making space to wrestle with it today.